hear the word of God. As Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man called Matthew sitting in the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he rose and followed him. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2, the Apostle Paul writes, "To the church of God that is in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints together with all those who in every place call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." So ends the reading of God's word. Please be seated. Let's join our hearts in prayer. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we come before you who are the creator of all, who establish the boundaries of nations and peoples and tongues, and who have called upon all men everywhere to worship your Son. We ask that you, by your Spirit, would enable us to hear what you are saying in your word and to understand and to know that even in this very time, at this very moment, you are calling to yourself those whom you have chosen before the foundation of the world. May you give us ears to hear, hearts to respond. For we pray through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I'd like to speak to you this morning on a very simple and brief account written by the author of the Gospel of Matthew, which is Matthew. And the verse that we read today is the account of Matthew's own calling by Jesus Christ. So our subject this morning is the call of Jesus Christ. The call of Jesus Christ. And I would like for us to contemplate the fact that Jesus, as he is in heaven now as the glorified Son of God, risen from the dead, is even now calling sinners to repentance. He's calling you. He's calling me today, as he called those when he was walking upon the earth. And so let's consider then Matthew's call. Matthew wrote this gospel, and it's interesting that the apostle Matthew is one of the 12 apostles that were chosen by Jesus to be his disciples. He was one of those original 12 that were chosen to be his original disciples, to follow him wherever he went teaching, to sit under his teaching, and to become his representatives. And Matthew is not recorded anywhere in any of the Gospels as ever having said a word. That's an interesting fact about him, that we have many accounts of Peter, Andrew, John, and other various disciples who are recorded in various situations as having said something. Matthew has never records himself as ever saying anything, and he's not recorded in any of the other Gospels as having spoken either. And yet here in this little brief account, we have Matthew writing about himself, and I think it's always interesting when you listen to someone either speak about themselves or write about themselves, to listen closely to what they have to say. It says that Jesus was passing on from there, and he saw a man. He saw a man whose name, who was called Matthew, and he was sitting in the tax booth. And what I'd like for us to consider is who this Matthew records himself as being, how he speaks of himself. He speaks of himself as someone was sitting in a tax booth. And to speak of himself in that way is to declare to people and to make known to people who read this gospel that he was one who was a tax collector. He was a tax collector before he was a disciple. He's pointing to something, and he's pointing to something that was shameful. Tax collectors were known in the Gospels as being those who were who took advantage of every opportunity to exercise greed and deceit and unfairness. Tax collectors were hated by the general population. As a class, they were hated. And they are associated always in the Gospels with sinners, pagans, pagan Gentiles, with prostitutes, extortioners, imposters, and adulterers. Strict Jews, those who observed the religious practices of the Pharisees, also were offended by the fact that tax collectors were rendered unclean because of their continual contact with Gentiles. Matthew would sit in this booth. And as commerce would be brought across the Sea of Galilee by boat, or as it was brought through the passage and the road along to the city of Damascus in Syria, because this was the passage along the northern border of the Sea of Galilee, where it was a trade route. And so he was strategically placed. He had much contact with Gentiles. And as a collector, he was someone who had contact with them, was unclean, considered to be unclean, and was not allowed then into the synagogue. They were universally hated. And they were universally hated not only because of their contact with Gentiles, who were considered by strict Jews to be unclean, but they were universally hated because they were those who had sold their service to their own country's conqueror, Rome. In our own national history, they would be similar to those who sided with England in the American Revolution. And if you consider the fact that among the disciples, we know that there was at least one who was a member of the Zealot Party. And the Zealots at that time in Palestine were those who were anxious to throw off the Roman yoke, the Roman domination over Palestine through violence and through uprising. And here Matthew is one who has sold his services to Rome in order that he can make himself wealthy. I think that tax collectors were known and were used to using deceit and cheating and adding on to the tax, buffering the money that they would collect in order to enrich their own coffers. And so I think it could easily be assumed that Matthew, though he was not someone probably who was exceedingly wealthy, he was someone who was probably better off than most of the people of his own nationality. And so he was used to living among a people who despised him. And it seems that Matthew was chosen by the Lord Jesus Christ. He was chosen by the Lord Jesus Christ. I can imagine Jesus preaching in Capernaum, and Capernaum was sort of the northern headquarters for Jesus' ministry around the Sea of Galilee, and Matthew is stationed there, and we know from the accounts that we've read that there were huge crowds that followed Jesus at this time in his ministry. He was very popular. He was doing miracles and healing and casting out demons. Crowds followed him. And I can imagine Matthew sitting at his booth, or maybe when he had a chance to get away from his booth, he was able to listen to Jesus and to hear him teach. I don't think that this was the first time Matthew had ever heard Jesus, when Jesus came to him and said to him, "Follow me." I think he had heard him before. And I believe that God had begun to call Matthew before. And it's always that way in our lives. When God calls someone to be one of his children, when he calls you, he does it through a process where someone, somewhere, is brought into your life and brings the Word of God. Your conscience is awakened, and you consider things about who Jesus is and what he's doing in the world and your relationship to God. And you consider these things in a way that you had not before. But it's a gradual process. It's not all at once. But at some time, the bell of the gospel rings in your ear. And it is as though Jesus comes to you and he speaks to you personally. You see the difference between, for Matthew, to hear Jesus as he spoke to the crowds, and to be one of the onlookers and one of those who heard. It's one thing to be a part of a crowd listening, and it's another thing for Jesus to come to you and to speak to you by name and to say to you, "Follow me. Follow me." And Matthew is very brief in which, in the way that he writes about this. There's not much exchange. He's sitting at the tax booth and Jesus comes up to him and he says, "Follow him." He tells Matthew to follow him. Consider the power of those words when they're spoken by the Son of God. They have a power to change a person's direction in life. Whereas Matthew at one time was thinking in terms purely of someone trying to get on in life and do the best he can, hated by his countrymen, but making his way, padding his coffers. Whereas that was the case, now Christ comes to him and says these words, "Follow me," and there is a power in those words. And the hold of the world on Matthew was broken. And very simply, Matthew says, he arose, he got up of his seat, and he followed him. And he followed him. And so we consider then that Matthew speaks of himself as a sinner. He puts his finger on that which is shameful, that which made him despised. And it reminds us of the truth that those who are called by Jesus to be his disciples must know in their own estimation, must in their own minds
know themselves to be sinners. Know themselves to be those who have broken God's commandments and to have done that which is evil in God's sight and deserving of condemnation. Matthew puts his finger on his own shame when he calls himself a tax collector. But we see then, secondly, the power of Jesus' words when he says, "Follow me." And Matthew gets up and follows. What does it mean to follow Jesus? Well, for the disciples, it meant very simply to be near him. To be near him. If we go back in chapter 8 of Matthew's gospel, you'll remember that there were some that came to Jesus in verses 18 and following of chapter 8. A scribe came up to Jesus, verse 19 of chapter 8, and came up to Jesus and said, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." And another of the disciples said to him, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." Let me first go and bury my father. There's something else I need to take care of first. There's something else that needs to happen first. And there is always this tendency that we have. Jesus says to us, "Follow me." And that means now. But we say, "I have something else that I need to take care of first. My intention is good. I will. I want to." But we delay, we procrastinate, and we wait. How many are like that today? But what is so different about Matthew and how he describes Jesus' words to him, what's so different is this. It's just so simple and so brief. Jesus says to him, "Follow me." And he writes, and he rose and followed Jesus. He went with him. He was near him. He was in his presence. To follow Jesus is to be with him and to be near him and to go with him in his travels. And for us to follow Christ is to be with him through faith, to be united to him and to follow him. But it also means to follow Jesus means to be his disciple, and it means to be a learner. It means to be a student. Someone like Matthew, when he was invited to join the inner circle of disciples, he was invited to become a student, to become a learner, to sit at Jesus' feet and to learn from him. To learn from him, to be a disciple is to learn from Jesus. I think of Mary and Martha. Now Martha became upset with Mary because Mary would not help her in the kitchen. Mary had chosen that which was better. She sat at Jesus' feet and listened to him teach. How important it is for those who are called to be a disciple of Jesus to sit at his feet, to find those places, to find those times where you hear God's word taught. Whether that's Sunday morning worship, as we're doing here today, whether that's a midweek Bible study that you attend, or Sunday school, listening to Dr. Vickers expound on 1 Corinthians. Whatever the means are, to be a disciple is to put yourself in that position in which you are a student and you're learning from Jesus and you're listening to him. And here's the key. Matthew says of himself that he got up and he followed Jesus. He went with him. And there were no excuses. There was no delaying. There were no reasons given why he could not do it. because Christ had a powerful claim on his life. Jesus said in John's gospel, he says, "My sheep, how do I know whether I'm one of God's sheep?" He says, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me." My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father has given them to me. I submit to you that the Father had given Matthew to Jesus. Jesus had his sights on Matthew all along. All the time that he was preaching to the crowd, he had his sights on Matthew in particular. And so there was that point when the gospel bell rang in his ear and Jesus said to him, "Follow me." And Matthew responded, "My Father has given them to me." Why did Matthew respond? Why is it that Matthew didn't make an excuse like the others? Why is it that he didn't procrastinate and say, "Well, I will. I will. Eventually I will." Why is it that in such a simple and yet profound way, it says that Matthew just got up and left everything and followed Jesus? Was it because of something in Matthew? Was he a better person? Was it something that Matthew had that other people didn't have? No. Jesus says, "My Father has given them to me." And Jesus, in another place, says, "They come because the Father draws them." And the Word and the Spirit operate together. And there is a call that is effectual. There is a call that is a drawing, powerful call. And it's a call away from the old life and into a new life. Think about what it was for Matthew. What a change for him. And think about this as well. Peter and the other apostles that were fishermen could go back to the lake and fish again. As soon as Matthew walked away from that booth, his old life was history. There was no going back. And believe me, there was no one interested in doing any favors for Matthew. He had stolen from them all. There was no going back. He walked away from it, lock, stock, and barrel. It was all or nothing for Matthew. And so it is for you and I as well. When God, you see, calls us, He calls us out of our old attachments, our old securities, the things that made us feel like we were secure and of value in the world. All of a sudden, we see those as being so subject to change. There's nothing stable in this world. Any of you who have lived any length of time, you know that's the case. At some time or another, you've been betrayed. At some time or another, you've been stolen from. At some time or another, your life that you once knew was turned upside down and everything was different. But when Jesus calls us, He calls us away from those old idols and those old attachments into a relationship with Him. And Matthew had this high privilege, and boy, I what a gift it was for him, for Jesus to go up to him and to say that to him. He had nothing. No one else had ever treated him kindly, I'm sure. And here Jesus singles him out and says, "Follow me." What a gift. You know what that means? Grace. That's grace. It was a gift to Matthew. It was eternal life. "My Father has given them to me," Jesus says. My sheep hear my voice. So all of a sudden there's this powerful thing going on inside of Matthew. And he's called out of his old life into a new life. And he was called to be one of the inner circle, one of the 12, one of the disciples. And the number 12 in the Bible is significant. There were 12 tribes in Israel, right? 12 disciples that follow Jesus. Matthew was being called into the church. He was being called to Christ to be his disciple, but he was also being called to be a part of the church. And that's what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians in the passage that we read earlier, where he says, to the church that is in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ, called to be saints together with all those who in every place call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. What that means is that when we are called to Jesus, we're called to be with all the other saints in the world that call on the name of Christ, and we join with them. We join with them. We join the church. We're a part of the fellowship. As Matthew was called to be a part of the 12, that inner circle, representative of the new Israel that Jesus was bringing into being. He was calling the church, and we're called by Christ to leave our old life and to become his disciple and to join with the church and to call upon Christ. I think it's interesting also to know that Matthew's response and his following of Christ also was upsetting. It was upsetting to those that were around. And it's borne out in the account that is following, and I want to really deal with this next week. But Jesus was invited by Matthew to come to his house. Matthew put on a banquet for Jesus, put on a great supper, a feast of celebration to mark this new epoch in his life, this new change to be a part of Christ and his disciples. It was a wonderful, wonderful time. And you can imagine, who do you think came to Matthew's house? Do you think that there were any religious people there? I don't think so. Because Matthew didn't have religious friends, because he wasn't allowed even to go in the synagogue because of his status as a tax collector. So the people that were Matthew's friends were people who were considered unclean. And Jesus was criticized because he sat and he reclined and he had supper with Matthew and his friends all at his place. It was upsetting. Because people don't understand grace. People don't understand grace. They think religion is all about being religious and being good and following certain moral codes pursuing a religious life. But it's not that. Jesus calls sinners, and he's calling you. He's calling you. Matthew was very clear on one thing in terms of what he knew about himself. He knew who he was, and that's why he puts his finger on it right away. It's like someone who had lived a certain kind of life and then... You know, Matthew is known for being a disciple, and later on he went on and did the work of disciples, and people only saw him in what he had become later with Christ. But Matthew knew where he came from, and he never forgot who he was. God is calling you, and he's calling you and me to remember who we are. We're sinners. We're all sinners. We're all people of ill repute before a holy and righteous God. But Christ in his grace comes to you this morning and very simply says to you,
as he said to Matthew, come, be my disciple.
Follow me. Will you? Will you? Will you leave your old life and follow Christ? Will you join yourself with the church? Will you join yourself to Christ?
Do you know yourself to be a sinner? Tax collectors knew very clearly who they were. And Jesus came for Matthew and he called him by name. And he's coming to you this morning through his word. And he's calling you by name. Follow me. Jesus told a parable about those who considered themselves to be righteous in their own eyes. He told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not to lose heart. And the parable that I'm thinking of is about the publican, the tax collector, and the Pharisee. And the Pharisee stood before God and he said, I thank you, God, that I am not like all of these other people. And he included in that description was a tax collector. And the publican did not even dare lift up his head, but bowed his head and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Will you do that? Will you do that? Do you know yourself the way Matthew knew himself? And will you bow your head and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner? And then, very simply, without procrastination and without delay, follow after Christ and be his disciple. Let's pray. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have come into the world, that you have sent your only Son. We thank you that he took upon himself our flesh and he walked upon the earth. And he called to himself the 12 disciples. And that call was powerful and effective. And he is still calling disciples to himself. If there be anyone here this morning, I pray, who has not yet confessed their sin and acknowledged their need for a Savior and not yet responded to the call of Jesus Christ, that you would move in their hearts that they would do so even this day. We ask this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.